Worry. It's something we all do from time to time, whether or not we want to admit it. Something that tends to come naturally. And with the state of the world right now, perhaps there's more worrying being done, more anxiety created in the back of our minds than we'd prefer. Worry about our nation, about destructive storms and fires, climate change and nuclear war, about the numerous shootings encountered. Or even if you don't worry so much about those, you find more immediate threats with things to worry about. Health concerns and numerous doctor visits, your job or how you're going to make ends meet, family concerns or strained relationships, concern for aging parents or concern for young children. Worries or anxieties over work being done to your house or the need to move, find someplace new. There are just so many things that cause us to worry. Yet Jesus makes it clear when talking to his disciples. He spells it right out from the start in this teaching. Do not worry. Of course, Jesus knew this was easier said than done, which is why he added on perhaps this little extra fluff talking about the ravens and the lilies, neither of which worry about their food or how they are dressed, noting it is God who provides, and emphasizing just how much more God will provide for those who strive first for the kingdom, how much more God will provide for the beloved children. Yet, we still know even those closest to Jesus worried a lot. They worried over who would sit at his right hand or his left. They worried about who was doing work in Jesus' name, about storms on the sea, about not being able to heal people. They worried about the poor and how expensive ointment could have been sold to care for them. They worry about their own lives fleeing when Jesus is arrested, and spend days worrying if they will be found, and still remain locked in the upper room even after Jesus has risen. Worry comes a bit too naturally for us. And yet Jesus calls us, as he did the disciples, to not worry. For who can add a single hour to your span of life? Aside from the time change last week, which I don't think counts, the obvious answer is no one. If you cannot do a small thing, a simple thing, such as this, why do we worry about the rest? Rather, strive for the kingdom, and all these will be provided. Strive for the kingdom. Jesus is, in a sense, telling us to pay attention in a different way. Pay attention to all that God has done for you and follow after that. Pay attention to how God has provided the meal you had for breakfast, the warm coat you put on to travel outside, the shelter of the roof above your head, the ease of traveling by car, the loved ones in your life, all those who care for you. Pay attention and be grateful for them, grateful for what God has provided. And strive for the kingdom, sharing these blessings, this gratitude. In her new book called Gratitude, Diana Butler Bass writes that gratitude is a muscle. When we exercise it, it gets stronger. Gratitude now ensures gratitude and things for which to be grateful in the future. This isn't necessarily anything new. Research has shown this for years, that gratitude builds gratitude, which builds gratitude. But what's also interesting is that research shows that gratitude is also the opposite of fear, of worry. If we are grateful, truly grateful, It pushes aside our anxieties, our fears, our worries. And this is because the brain cannot be in a state of appreciation, of gratitude, and in a state of fear, a state of worry, at the same time. Being in a state of gratitude, of appreciation, will push out our fears and our worries. If we are grateful, we won't worry as much, we'll be less anxious. Perhaps like what Jesus said, consider the ravens, how they neither have storehouse or barn, but God provides. Or the lilies of the field, how beautifully they are clothed. Even Solomon, this rich, wise, powerful king in all his glory, was never dressed as beautifully as one of these. These lilies and grasses of the field that are here today and tomorrow thrown into the oven. They don't worry. God provides. While it's questionable how grateful they are, they also don't seem to show any concern or worry about the things like we do, as we strive after the things of the nations rather than the things of the kingdom. Here at the end, Jesus throws in this line, telling the disciples to sell their possessions. Give alms, make purses that do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where neither thief can come near nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's an interesting line, isn't it? Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. A few months ago, a check came into the Office of Special Offerings through our denomination. Now this happens fairly often. Checks come through, usually with no note, nothing, just donations being made to support the various special offerings, like One Great Hour of Sharing, Pentecost, Christmas Joy. But this check was different. While it came with no note, in the memo line it read, soup for goats. Nothing more. Nothing to explain these three little words. So the staff member who happened to come across it decided there must be more to this story, these three little lines. Was determined to find out. So he looked up the church from which the check came and contacted them asking what this line actually meant. Thankfully, they called him back, or they answered the phone, I'm not sure, and he was able to hear the story. Through the help of a Sunday school teacher, the class had decided to engage in the PCUSA Giving Catalog, a catalog that is sent to all the congregations that has, you can support various mission programs, various communities in need. So the teacher showed this catalog to the children in the class, and almost immediately they latched on to goats. Now, many of the families in the church, about one half of the one-room Sunday school class, ages from kindergarten to eighth grade, had relocated from refugee camps in the Democratic Republic of Congo, in Burundi, in Rwanda. So many of them knew the need, the importance of all that goats can do to provide for a family. So the teachers, along with the students, began to brainstorm how they could raise funds for such a great endeavor, especially with such a large age range and wanting everyone to be able to participate, from 5-year-olds to 13-year-olds. They came up with the idea of selling dried soup mixes. In an inspirational display of dedication and organization, the children divided themselves into committees. Can tell they're Presbyterian. There were cooks who managed the assembly line, financiers who focused on keeping the books, and marketers who created posters and got the word out. The younger children contributed through tasks like making labels for the jars of ingredients. The jars were sold for $6.50 each, and all you had to do was add water. They set out with a goal of donating 2 goats, a gift of $178. However, with so many orders, they were able to make enough money to donate not just the goats, but a piglet, a family of chickens, and 6 refugee food baskets. They decided on the refugee food baskets after hearing stories from members of their own congregation discussing their experiences needing food while in the refugee camps. This project was such a joy to the children. Some who understood the concept of money and treasure, and some who couldn't yet fully grasp, but that's where their heart was, truly in the kingdom of God. Along with those who so graciously supported them in the congregation and the community, seeing the joy on the children's faces, understanding how important this project was to them, to their community, and to the people they were providing for. Giving alms, being grateful for what they have and sharing in the blessing. A blessing that would have certainly been shared with many, those who would own the goats, able to get the milk to support their family and the community, those who would receive the piglet and the chickens, providing meals and income, along with at least 6 families who would be blessed by the refugee baskets, if not more, as those who tend to have little tend to share more with those around them. Again, this mentality of being grateful, the more grateful you are, the less fearful, anxious, and worried, the more you share in what you have received, so all may find joy, may share in joy in the blessing. Soup for goats. These silly 3 little words written in a memo line with such a powerful story behind them. This story that would have been missed if the staff member at special offerings didn't take time to call the church to find out what those lines meant. And he stated as he shared this story how we need to be better at sharing all of our stories, something that we're not always the best at. But that these stories, sharing who we are as a church, as a faith community in Christ, what we're doing, living out this call. These stories, they help us in a sense to be grateful. When we share the joy of Eagle Scouts projects as we are the charter for the Boy Scouts in Chester. Stories we share in the relief of the newly registered family to the food pantry, knowing they won't have to worry so much about feeding their families, their children, or themselves. Stories we share in serving our community, welcoming them in with great hospitality, with roast beef dinners, chicken barbecues, pancake suppers. Stories we share in the amazement of how such a small congregation is able to give almost $4,000 a year to various missions around the world, from church world services to people for people to one great hour of sharing. Stories of renovating unused spaces in our building to support not just the arts in our community, but various programs, opening our doors to groups in need, knowing that this space is a space we've been blessed with, and it's not ours, but God's. For when we really start to share our story with those around us, telling them all that we do, what we love about our church, the fears melt away under the gratitude for all that we have and all that God continues to provide. While it's certainly easy to get caught up in everything we don't have, with how things used to be, the fears of it all creeping in around us, Jesus calls us to stand against them, sharing instead in joy our stories, our gratitude, God's amazing goodness. These stories that remind us where our treasure is, and thus where our hearts are as well, near to the kingdom of God. Amen.